Well, for those of you that didn't know I was preaching this morning, sorry for your luck. But we were joking a couple weeks ago on Facebook about, Dennis is preaching again, nobody will be there. And even God has a sense of humor because he makes the weather to the point that people now have a good excuse. But that's okay. Yeah, Tracy was one of the ones that was joking with me on the whole thing, and they're not here this morning. I hope you're listening, Tracy. We're coming to your place for lunch. But good to have you here this morning. My message this morning is one that God has laid upon my heart, and it's been a confusing one for me because I haven't been figured out exactly which way to go with it yet, and I'm still thinking. So I can't guarantee you what you're going to get, but you know, we all plan, right? Everybody does planning. One of the things I used to say at work is if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, okay? Yeah, we plan for a goal. We plan for to achieve something. For those of you that still work, if you have to get up tomorrow morning and go to work, you probably plan tonight. Well, I'm going to do this. You know, every morning I get up and I read my wife's little card. She has 3x5 cards, and she always writes on there the plans for the next day. And if they don't include me, then I'm okay. If they do, then I got to make sure that I remember. Okay, but we plan it various ways. And it's funny. We're taking several trips this year. My idea of planning is different than some of the rest of my family. I go, like, we're going to Orlando in October. Okay, now, I'm planning to go to Orlando in October. We have a place to stay. But when it comes time for leaving, my daughter's like, well, we're getting a hotel, this hotel, it's about halfway in that. See, I don't do that. Because, see, if I run into bad weather, it slows me down. If I run into an accident, it slows me down. If I make better time than I expect, I can be further. So I kind of don't plan out how far I'm going to make it in a day. I just know that when I get tired, then I'll find a place to sleep. You know, I could sleep in the car. You know, Judy might have a hard time, but I could sleep in the car if that's the case, you know. So I plan certain things. I don't plan everything. When we go on vacation, I don't like to have everything. We're going this. Got to get, you know. I like to decide, all right, we're going this, and we go do it. But see, I like to research stuff. So when we make a trip, I'm looking all the time at what's in that area. What can I see historically? You know, what's there historically? You know, and I like to go and see the history of our country. That's my, when we make a trip, you know, they were talking about when we go to Florida, my daughter said about they're going to, I guess it's Universal Studio one day. And I said, I don't care about Universal Studio. I'd rather go someplace that's important. You know, to me, that those kind of places, I don't get impressed by it. So, you know, I said, you can go. I can do something else, you know. So we get caught up with planning. So this morning we're going to talk about planning. You know, how do we plan? I have plans. You have plans. We have plans. Right? Yeah. There's plans that involve me. There's plans that involve you. There's plans that involve some of us together. And are they in sync with his plan? Are our plans in sync with his plan? And so that's what I'm going to talk about this morning is, are our plans, all of them, how do we get them in sync with God's plans? How do we make sure that he's directing the plan? If you would turn to Proverbs 16, you'll see three verses there. before I get to that, you know, we're talking about plannings. Anybody know who Albert Einstein was, right? Well, Albert Einstein was he was a genius, okay? He was very unique. And he also was sometimes very strange, okay? Well, one day he was going somewhere on the train, and the ticket taker came to Albert Einstein. And, of course, he knew Albert Einstein, and he says, "Ticket, please." And Albert Einstein reaches in his pocket and reaches in his other pocket, and he's checking all his pockets, and he's saying, "I can't find my ticket." And the guy says, "That's okay. That's okay. We know who you are, and you've always bought a ticket, so I know you got a ticket. You're okay." So he walks, the ticket taker walks away, and he comes back 15 minutes later, and here's Albert Einstein. He's checking under the seat, and he's looking. He said, "Mr. Einstein, I told you that it's okay. We're not going to throw you off the train because you don't have a ticket. It's okay." And Albert Einstein looks up the ticket taker, and he says, "Yeah." He said, "I know you told me it's okay." He said, "But without the ticket, I don't know where I was going." Without God, you don't know where you're going. And if your plans aren't in with His, then it's not going to be successful. Oh, it might work out. You might find that you achieve some of the goals you want to achieve, but if your plans are not in line with God's plan for your life, anybody remember that verse in Jeremiah? It says, "I know the plans I have for you." God has plans for each and every one of us. And when we step out on our own and say, "I'm doing this," if it's not what God wants us to do, we know the price. I mean, we'll see several people that did that. But look at the first three verses of Proverbs 16. "The plans of the heart belong to man. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established." God develops, based on our motives, how well our plan works out. When we make plans, we have to remember that those plans may look good to us. They may meet what we want. They may be exactly where we think we should be. But if they aren't in sync with God, then it's not happening. Remember Jonah? What happened with Jonah? Oh, well, let's see. He said, "God, I don't want to go where you want me to go, but I want to serve you. But I'll go here instead to tell people about you." And he didn't make it to his plan. God intervened. David, he planned to build the temple. And as he started to make the plans to build the temple, one of the prophets came up to David and said, "David, God doesn't want you to make his temple." For David to make that temple was important in his eyes. For this prophet to come up and say, "David, God doesn't want you to make that temple. That's all on you, David. You're the one that's doing all this and you want to do it, but God doesn't want you to do it." Okay? Now, David was making big plans. This temple was going to be fancy. This temple was going to be built right. This temple was going to be perfect in the sight of what man would look at. But the prophet says to David, "No. No. God doesn't want you to do it." Now, David was smart enough to know that if God doesn't want me to do it and I do it, it's not going to work out well for me. So he didn't do it. And we know that Solomon came through and built the temple. And Solomon planned. I mean, when you look at Solomon, he assigned 70,000 men just to carry the logs and stuff for the temple. 70,000 men to carry the loads. 800,000 men to quarry stone. 800,000 men Solomon had to quarry stone. 3,600 to supervise them. If you're saying, where am I come up with this? It comes out of 2 Chronicles 2:2. He designed a facility. He made all the plans for what was going to be there, what was going to happen before he went and he built the temple. But see, the difference in Solomon and David was God wanted Solomon to build the temple, not David. Okay? They both planned. They both set forth a plan of action. They both thought it out. They both had it in perfect sync with their mind. But it wasn't where God wanted them to be. And so when we look at the whole aspect of my plans, your plans, his plans, plans go wrong for a couple reasons. One is plans go wrong when we don't plan properly. Okay? Now, those of you, Rick, have you ever built a house? Never built a house. What would you do first if you were going to build a house? Why? Okay. Now, is that a biblical thought process? Huh? Even though he might be looking at, I'm building this house, the first thought is, God says everything relies on the foundation. Everything relies on the foundation. What else would you do, Rick?
Think about the materials I would need.
Okay.
The help I would need.
Okay. Now, if you called John and I to come help you build this house, okay, who are you letting up on the roof?
John.
Why? I'm good. I got even nail guns. You know, I don't even need to have my hammer anymore because I can just boom, boom. I can nail any kind of nail. But if I was over there with you and I said, Rick, I think based on what I'm seeing in your plan, maybe you ought to think about this. What would you do? Why? Okay. That's the first thing about plans is you got to understand. What are others saying about your plan? Why does that matter? What others say about your plan? See, God gives us the ability through worship, fellowship, prayer, other believers. He gives us the availability of people to help us assess the plan. So that when we look at it, if everybody that we rely upon is saying, I could say to Rick, I think you ought to do this. And he said, I don't want to. And John could say to Rick, I think you ought to do this, which is the same thing as I said. And he said, I don't want to. If you never rely on the other people that God sends your way to help you when you're developing a plan for success, if you never rely on information that's coming in from others that God may be influencing, what happens? You shut off an avenue that God has for you. God has provided those avenues for us. When Solomon was building the temple, okay, he had 3,600 people to supervise. Why? Because he knew he couldn't do it all himself. And he wanted those people to help there. Now, some people will tell you the Bible is against planning. And I agree with them in certain cases. Okay? What does the Bible say about the man who gathered all his crops in and he had a great year and God had blessed him and he gathered everything in and he says, guess what? He said, now that we have everything here and that, he said, I've had such a great year. I'm throwing a great big party and I'm going to have this great big party for all those people to come in and see how well I've done. And what does God say? you poor soul, because tonight God's going to require your soul. You aren't going to have your party because God's requiring your soul tonight. See, the Bible does speak about plans in a negative way at times. And the Bible tells us that a man's plans is sometimes not good. Okay? But what I want you to see here is that these verses here in Proverbs says, commit your works to the Lord, your plans will be established. Your plans will be established. The mind, if you look down a little bit, look at verse 9. The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And that's where the disconnect can happen. If God is not directing the steps in the plan, then the plan is not God's. The plan is ours. And so when you look at that aspect of planning and what God is doing, is you have to, you know, worry about, am I doing it the way God wants me to do it? Am I doing exactly what God wants me to do? Am I walking down the path that he's directing? Or am I letting my own mind dictate the follow through on the plan that I make? And that's the thing that we've got to worry about. Now, when you plan, there's always something that has to be done in the plan. And you got to do the right things. Man died. He was an atheist man from Finland. And when he died, they took his will, and his will said, I want all my belongings and property to go to Satan. Well, now the people that were executing that will and doing what, and they're like, this is an impossible request. And they took it to the judge. And the judge says, no, this isn't impossible. He said, you take all the property, the houses, the buildings, and all that. And he said, you just leave them sit. And he said, the weeds will take over, decay will take over, and it'll be Satan's. See, the judge looked at it as, this world we live in is under decay. This world we live in is under Satan's. So if you sit back and do nothing, whose plan are you doing? Satan's. And that's what the judge ruled on this. And everybody looked at it and he said, the world is in decay. And think about it. You plant a garden and you don't do anything else after you plant it. What happens? The weeds take over. Why? If you never go to the doctor and you got a problem, what happens? Problem gets worse. Right? See, the thing of this natural world that we live in is Satan is in control of the physical. And the physical decays, wears out, and that includes our bodies. Our bodies are decaying. Our bodies are wearing out. Talking with a guy in the hospital Friday evening while we were sitting there waiting, I was talking to the security guard. And as we were talking, he asked a question about something. Oh, we were talking about that. After 8 o'clock up here, I don't know if you know in Butler Hospital, but at 8 o'clock, everybody goes through the emergency room. And you got to go through the metal detector. And I said to the security guard, I said, now that's pretty stupid. And he looks at me and he says, I agree with you. I said, so at 8 o'clock, all the other entrances are shut down and everybody has to go through the metal detector. But hey, I walked through 3 hours ago and I didn't have to go through the metal detector, and I could have I could still be here after 8 o'clock and I could have a weapon on me. He said, yeah, I agree with you. It's stupid. He said, there ought to be metal detectors on all entrances, exits, all times of the day and night. But he said, this is the way the hospital does. After 8 o'clock, everybody has to use, nurses, Everybody uses one entrance and exit. And there's a metal detector. And I said to him, I said, I guarantee you right now, if I went through that, you'd be taking your little wand and going around. He says, yeah, I got more metal on my knees than you can imagine. Yeah, I can't go through a metal detector without, I go to the airport, I say, I got to go through that one. Why? Because my knees are going to set off that one. You got to see what's there because it's going to happen. But think about it. Isn't that the kind of cost of doing nothing during the day? If they're so secure at night, why wouldn't they worry about the day? I think that's part of Satan. See, everybody thinks the night belongs to Satan. So that's when it's going to get worse. Right? You know, without light, you have darkness. And darkness is the thing of Satan. So there are a lot of people that don't plan anything. Is that where God wants us? I think he says the plans here, the plans that we have are the way that he directs us. So we have to be looking at that aspect. James has another aspect that says, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why do you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. So that's where people say, well, don't make any plans. Well, that's not there. But I want you to see what that second verse says. What's that second verse say? All the ways of man are clean in his own sight, the Lord weighs the motives. And then he goes into that third verse and he tells us how to proceed. He says, commit. Commit. Why don't people commit? God tells us to commit. Why don't people commit? When you commit, what's it mean? Doing what he wants. Doing what he wants. Commit means doing what he wants. That's tough. Because in most situations, we want to do what we want. Right? Yeah, I said about going hunting tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day of hunting season in the state, except for my area. I have 5 more days. I talked about going up to my nephew's in Sigel and hunting with them. Maybe taking Matthew with me because they have off school tomorrow. Now, I want to go hunting. But if we go up to the hospital and they say, well, we're going to release your mom tomorrow, and I go hunting, that means my wife has to try to get my mother into the trailer all by herself. Not a good thing. You know, it's not a good thing with both of us at times. Okay? So, when I commit, sometimes I don't like the fact that what I'm thinking might change. See, if I commit to God, God can change what I'm thinking. Because why? I'm thinking in human thoughts. God thinks in the spiritual realm. And so when I'm thinking, well, this is what I need to do, and this is what I'm going to do, God sometimes says, but that's not what I want you to do. That's not where I want you. You know, we continue to make mistakes in how we proceed with our plan because we don't stay in the presence of God. How do we do that? Well, one of the things we know in the presence of God is worship. Another one is fellowship of believers. Another one is prayer. Another one is reading the scripture. Those are all ways in which we can stay in communication with God. But see, the thing is if we're doing plans and we're planning to have success daily, we have to be doing those things to stay committed to God's plan. Because, see, it says, God says, I will direct your steps. But only if you're staying committed to me. See, sometimes our plans fail because we didn't stay committed to God's will. Some of us plan to get old. Some of us plan not to get old. Some of us don't want to get old. But what God says is, what? Are we in control of that? Are we in control of our age? God says, hey, I'll give you 70 years. So those of you here that are above 70, you're borrowing off of somebody that's under. Okay? See, we can plan to live to be 100 years old. My grandfather always said, I'm going to live to be 100 years old. And when he was 85, he'd come home one day and he always bought milk at a farm. Come home from getting his milk, pulled in his garage, forgot to shut off his car, went up and died of carbon monoxide poisoning. Okay? He was healthy. He was busy. He roller skated 2 or 3 times a week. He went bowling. Very active. 85 years old. But he walked up into his house. And the next morning, God had required his life. And when you look at accidents and things like that, you know, some people say, well, that's why you don't plan and don't worry about a thing, because God's in control of everything. So if he wants you to die today, you have no choice in it. What's he want us to do? What did that first song say that we had before the prelude song? Anybody remember what it said? Huh? As long as I'm alive, I will glorify the Lord. As long as I'm alive, I will praise the Lord. That's what that song said. Okay? As long as I'm alive, I will glorify God. We sometimes look at things in different manners that we aren't worried about what God requires. We are called to commit ourselves to work out God's plans, to do the things he wants us to do. So in doing that, we have to make sure our plans include that. If it's not glorifying to God, is it something we should be planning? If it doesn't bring glory to God, what did that song say? As long as I'm alive, I will glorify his name. If we're developing a plan and you see nothing in that plan that glorifies God, is it truly being directed by God? We don't know. Sometimes we make plans that doesn't seem to glorify God, but God will work the glory through it. But we have to understand is our plans should be focused on God. Our plan should be focused is, what is God's purpose for us? Are we like David? I want to build the temple. I want to make that temple great. I want to glorify God because I want to build this phenomenal, fantastic, wonderful temple. Would that temple have glorified God? Probably. See, that's why we got to be really deeply concerned in looking at the plan. That David building that temple might have brought glory to God, but it wasn't the glory that God was seeking, was it? So God directed David's steps through another individual, a prophet, comes forth and tells David, I think you're wrong. I think you're rushing into this. I think you're doing something that, it's on your heart and it's what you want to do and you think it's going to make God happy. But guess what? It's not. See, that was a good, he was trying to do a good thing. He wanted to build a temple. He wanted to build the temple where God could be glorified because the temple was destroyed. And so he wanted to build that temple where God could be glorified. And God said, no. He said, that's a great idea, but it's not my directive for you. We have to look at the big picture. But we also have to look at our daily life and say, is our plan glorifying God? Is our plan doing what God wants me to do? Is my plan, your plan, our plans all lining up to where God wants us? People continually to ask, where are we in finding a preacher? Where are we? Right now, we're still saying, God, what's your exact direction? What's your exact direction? Because I can make plans. We can make plans. And we can say, hey, we're going to do this. And then all of a sudden God shuts the door. And what's the first thing somebody says? See, your plan failed. It wasn't necessarily that our plan failed. It was necessarily that our plan was outside of what God wanted. See, David's planning of the temple didn't fail. He recognized when he was told that's outside of God's will. Hey, looks good. Everything looks good on paper. We got it. We got the finances. We got the workers. We got everything we need. But it's outside of God's will. And so his plan didn't fail. Sometimes what we look at is, oh, the plans failed. Not necessarily the plan failed. The plan may be a good plan. We just didn't do it within the will of God. And so what? It said right there in that scripture. What's it say in that scripture that I read? Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Commit your works. There's another word used in one of the other, I don't know if it's King James or another version, I'll tell you in a minute here. Now King James says the same thing. There's another version because I was reading it when I was reading different versions. And instead of saying commit, it said be contented. And I thought, commit, be contented. Is that really the same thing? But think about it. If we truly commit to the Lord and commit our plans and commit our thoughts and commit our ways to the Lord, what does it give us? Contentment. Contentment. See, I think that even David found contentment even though he didn't get to do the temple. He was contented with the fact that his son was going to build the temple. He was contented with that fact. So God wants us to be contented with his plans. Hey, it may not always be what we want. May not always direct us immediately. Sometimes we got to start into something and then God says, "Now, David did the planning. He had it all planned out. And then God said, no, hey, you wasted your time and my time, but that's okay. Because in my plan, it's going to happen this way. My plans, your plans, our plans are only successful if they're rooted in his plan. And he's directing it in our lives. If he is not fully directing, the plan will fail. Not just fall apart, the plan will fail. And even the best intentions can fail when we leave God out of it. We have to be sure. We have to be focused. We have to define the things in our plan that glorifies God, and the things in our plan that may not glorify God. And if we're seeing more things in our plan that we think doesn't glorify God, maybe our mind is directing our plans in a wrong way. And so then we got to commit ourselves back to God and say, God, you know, I'm not sure about this now. I'm not positive. I have to look at it a little different. Because you said you were going to direct my path. The only way I can let you direct my path is to be committed to following you and doing what your will is. We, every day, make plans. I plan on leaving here and going to the hospital and visit my mom. Okay? We make plans. Sometimes our plans really don't work out the way we want them to work out. Last Saturday, I had plans. I had rented an excavator. Okay? Austin's garage, the back of his garage, the wall was in about 10 inches, bowed in, because of the way the guy built it and what he did after he built it. Okay? So if it moved any further, I built a temporary wall back several months back, a temporary wall to make sure that if the wall did fall, that the building didn't fall. But we were watching, and as the block got closer to the temporary wall, we knew it was still moving. So my nephew had said that he'd come down and dig it out, and that was back in end of September. It still wasn't dug out. So several times we planned. I had rented the excavator and planned for this day, and the weather would be raining all day, or this day, and it would be miserable, or this day. Finally, I just said, Saturday's the day. They're calling for rain, but it's not an all-day rain, but I don't care. We got to get this done. So I get up Saturday morning. You know, I'm planning on leave the house at 7:45 because I got to be over there by 8:30. I can't find my shovel. Still don't know where it is. I didn't go up and look in the shed to see if it got moved up there. When we always move stuff from the garage to the shed in the fall and the spring, you know, depending on what gets used. I'm looking for my shovel. I can't find it. My mom calls and says, I can't get my pill bottle open. Okay? So now I got to run up to my mom's to get the pill bottle open. That wasn't my plans. So you know what it did? It made my mind all frustrated because now my plan isn't going the way I want it to go. So I can't find the shovel. I throw another shovel that wasn't exactly what I wanted in the truck. I jump in the truck. I back out of the garage, okay? The night before was pouring down rain Friday night. Pouring. We come in with the car, and I decided that I wasn't putting the car in the garage because all that slop gets down on the cement floor, and then Judy spends time cleaning it up. So I didn't put the car in the garage. I parked it at the end of the thing. Now, I was going to pull it in and park it right in front of the garage, but that kind of takes up parking area if somebody comes to visit us. So I parked it down there, and I get out, and I get in my truck, and I'm backing up, and I look, and I'm clear. And I'm backing up, and all of a sudden the sun was coming up over the hillside, hit my mirrors, my camera, and everything else. I couldn't see anything, and I heard crunch. My truck with 500 miles on it got crunched. Not only that, I crunched our car. That wasn't in my plan. I didn't plan on that. Now I'm frustrated. I'm really frustrated. I was frustrated to start with. Now I'm really frustrated. I called Judy. She's still in bed. I call her. I said, hey, when you see the bunch of red tail light lens stuff all over the thing, I crunched both of our cars. And she said, maybe you oughtn't to get on the excavator today. Because she could sense I was really uptight. And I said, well, I'm not planning on it. What did I say? I'm not planning on it, right? We get over there, we get the excavator, we get it down. I show Austin how to work it. He gets up on it and starts to move it, and he stops. He says, I got a really bad headache. Well, you better take something. So he goes in, takes something. I moved in position, got some things ready, dug out a little bit, and he comes back out, and he goes to get on. He got a migraine. He threw up 3 times. Guess who did the digging? Was I planning on jumping up and down off that excavator and up and down in that hole? And I had to dig about a foot from that foundation. Because, see, if I'd have touched that foundation with the bucket, guess what would happen? Huh? It would have fallen. It was already in 10 inches, you know. You only got, you know, and it moves in steps. And I think if I just went like this with a couple of the center blocks, I could probably push them right out onto the floor, okay? So I had to dig it out. And as I'm digging, I'm finding all kinds of garbage that this guy put in there. Piece of pipe, an 8-inch pipe full of concrete, about 4 foot. I mean, why would you throw a piece of pipe full of concrete in against a garage wall? Big piece of marble tabletop or countertop stuff. I said, and top it off, I got down to the bottom of the foundation, and the guy had put terracotta pipe in for the drain. Well, first off, terracotta pipe doesn't have holes in it, but this stuff did. Because all the junk he had thrown in on top of it had busted the terracotta pipe. See, last Saturday was a day my plans didn't go as I wanted them to go. But God saw me through and helped me, and I got it done and everything else, and I couldn't walk for the next 2 days because every muscle in my body hurt. See, sometimes we make plans and they just don't go right. The one thing that I did right in that plan on Saturday was I called my wife and she reminded me. She said, don't let it get to you. It's just a car. I said, but it's my new truck. I've only got 500 miles on it. They can fix it. But it's my new... My wife knew that my plan needed to be to calm down. And she calmed me down. And I got through and I didn't knock the wall over there and everything else. If you'd asked me Friday, if I'd have knew what was going to happen on Saturday, guess what I'd have done? Yeah! I would have. I'd have said, you know what? Austin, you're on your own. I'm not even coming over. See, we got to let God direct our plans. Because our plans sometimes gets interfered with. And if we don't let God in control, if we don't commit to God in everything, the plan will totally fall apart. And then we won't be happy. I'm still not happy. Every time I look at my truck and I see that broken taillight lens in the back and the fender scratched up, I'm not happy. But I'm going to trust that God will bring something good out of it. What? I don't know. But he'll bring something good out of it. He says if we commit our ways to him, he will develop our plans. But we have to commit to him through worship, prayer, fellowship, listening to others, hearing what the voice of God is saying to us, and then moving forward. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that you show us that even though sometimes we make plans and they don't go the way we were expecting them to go, that you are still directing the paths that we walk on if we commit to you. We lay a lot of plans out there, God. Some of them good, some of them not so good. But God, if we lay those plans out there, remembering to focus upon what direction you want us to go, you will always make them a success. Sometimes we fail in the way we do it, but you will make the outcome good. So Lord, we pray this morning for direction on each one of our hearts. As we go through the coming weeks, months, years, not knowing what's ahead, what life brings us. Lord, we pray that each one of us opens our hearts and says, Lord, today I commit. I commit my heart to you. Please direct my plans for your glory. Be with each one that wasn't able to come out today. Protect them. Touch each one that needs a physical touch this morning. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen.